Finally, I'll just have to settle into that hand job. Handies for five. Handies for five. I'll go out and I'll charge all the guys that are begging on the side of the street because they gotta have, cause they got spare change. Handy for five. So I'm going to make money off all the beggars. That's my plan. And all the performers down in Seattle, I'll go down and work the performer circuit.
Hey, it's Chris. Oh, he's busy.
All right. Well, so, Rikai, if you would like a Red Bull.
A Red Bull?
Yeah, you are welcome to enjoy one.
I'm good for now.
No, Beardsley, I strongly encourage you to drink one of these. I've opened one up, and this is full-fledged, sugar and everything.
Yep.
John has a couple of them, so he brought them. You're going to enjoy this. It's an interesting story. So, John, welcome to the show. Glad
Thanks.
To have you.
Thank you.
I'm glad you're here, too, because you know what I realized on my drive down here?
What's that?
You're kind of like the grandpa of User Air.
Am I now?
Maybe. Or like an uncle?
Okay.
Because
well,
if you think about it, User Air sounds a lot like Joint Failures.
Yeah, yeah. That was me.
So John was my old buddy from Joint Failures. And
the original, before you even had a Lim Saxon show.
Yeah.
We did Castablasta.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Right. Of course. Right. Uh-huh. My first podcast.
Yeah.
My first podcast, Castablasta.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, looking back at it, also a lot like this show. Would you agree?
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah, it is a lot like this show. So that's the vibe of this show.
Okay, okay.
Stuff we're just rehashing stuff.
All right, I'll settle in then.
Although I'll tell you what.
Nothing new, nothing original.
Okay, good, good.
If you go back and look at those Joint Failures, some of our best work, like those intros, really hold up. I don't know if you remember, but we did some really funny green screen intros. Like we put.
We worked on those.
Yeah, we did.
We worked on those,
I will say... I think the show is maybe a bit more seriously toned than those shows.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, fair enough.
Well, now we're older and
like,
we're grumpier.
Like, not all the time, but...
You know, there's that. We're older and grumpier now, that's for sure.
This is Joint Failures, where you just add bitching about shit.
Okay, okay.
And now we have more years of...
The missing ingredient from Joint Failures, yes.
So Joint Failures, you know, we had these crazy intros. Like one time we were sitting on an iceberg. One time I was in a little girl's room. One time we were in a wanted poster, which is actually one of the first times I ever dealt with YouTube flagging a video and punishing me for copyright violation.
Really?
Yeah.
You're welcome.
Yeah, I know.
That's why you're wanted.
Yeah, so that was good time. So now later in life, here we are. Doing User Air. So John joins us today. And John, I thought of you coming on the show when I heard about this crazy freaking Red Bull story.
Yeah.
It almost sounds like you have a problem, John. I got to be honest. Because you had, at this point, I know you've given a lot away, but how many in total do you remember you had?
I had 17 cases. So 17 times 24.
So that must have been hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of dollars. I would imagine nearly $1,000. I don't know.
Why? It's funny you ask, Chris. So what happened was we were going on a road trip and I don't usually drink Red Bull too often, maybe like 3-4 a year.
It is sort of like a good road trip beverage.
Yeah. And my wife knows that, so she went online, she went through Amazon Fresh, like, okay, I'll pick up some Red Bull for the trip. And this was just over a week ago, and she orders it and it comes
that day.
Next day.
Oh, okay.
She had it come the next day. We could have had it same day.
Wow, that's amazing.
It's great. And instead of one Red Bull or a pack of Red Bull, it's 24. And the cost was $1.85. So it sounded pretty good, right? And when I got this, and she let me know that something was a little bit odd. I was just like, it might be more. It said $1.85, and it said 24, but that can't be right.
It sounds like they accidentally priced the 24-pack for a really good deal on a single can.
Yeah, right. Yeah, for a good deal on a single can. So she was out when it came. I got it. I'm like, Jessica, we got 24 for $1.85. We are doing this. We're going whole hog on this.
Doubling down.
Yeah. So you know, I got really excited, right? So I'm just like, okay. You know, I didn't know what I was going to do with it, but I go online and the price is still there, $1.85 for 24 cans. And but I got a little nervous because I don't want to set off. You know, I'm sure they have some kind of algorithms to show like if people are screwing up. So
plus, what if it like automatically adjusts and charges you for the correct amount?
Right. So I'm just like, let's just do. You know, I could get up to 20, but that seemed kind of crazy. So I did 8. I'm like, okay, we'll do 8. We'll see what happens. Eight cases of Red Bull. Let's see what happens. Next morning, like...
Eight cases.
And, you know, you got to wonder what the delivery guy was thinking, because there's just
heavy.
Like 8 cases of Red Bull.
That's like, he's got, that's on like our doorstep. One of his heaviest things he's moving that day, possibly.
Right. So then we're like, okay, well now what? Is the deal still on? Yeah. So anyway, another 8 cases. We got another 8 cases.
So this is now what? 48 hours into this deal?
Yep. 48 hours.
And they're not taking it down.
They hadn't taken it down. And so we get, you know, we just put them in the garage. Like, I guess I'll be drinking Red Bull for a while.
And John becomes diabetic.
Right, yeah. This is the key. So we get it, and then we, like, the last eight that we got was just before we got it the morning that we left for Eastern Washington. So we got it, and just the whole way, I'm just, like, checking Amazon Fresh, like, is it still there? Like, because if it is, how do I not order more? Because what we have with 17 cases amounts, like, around $40 a case, and sometimes it's more than that, to over, like, almost $650 worth of Red Bull that we got.
Wow.
So I keep checking, and it's there, and then all of a sudden it's sold out. I'm like, okay, well, that's the end of that. And I would keep looking occasionally. And then on the way back from Spokane, Tuesday, I look, and it's still there. I'm like, oh. Well, we'll see what happens when we get home.
How much are you in at this point, do you think?
Well, you have to order $40 worth of stuff for free delivery, but we're ordering other food that we would still order.
Which is four cases.
Yeah. Well, so Red Bull-wise, we're in, what, like, I don't know, $38?
Wow.
So
less than the price of a regular case.
Less than $38, yes. Less than the price of one regular case. And so then it was sold out. And then just Friday, I looked again, and it was still there. And it was $1.85. But
hey, Chris, I might order some Red Bull.
But hold on. So, but other people know about. Other people must have figured it out because I tried to add some to my cart, and it wouldn't let me order more than two. And then it was gone. So I didn't even get to order it. It was just gone before then.
You think they're clearing out inventory?
No. Here's what I think. I haven't figured out exactly how it's related, but what I found out is that people who are on, like, food stamps or things like that, you know, they can get Red Bull and then return it for money. And they can order it with food stamps because it has some nutritional value on the side.
You are shitting me.
No, and then they return it for money and then they use that to buy drugs.
Well, it does have vitamin B12, vitamin B6. It also has a...
sugar is considered a food, Chris.
Has 110 calories.
So people sometimes just steal it and return it. Like, there's lots of things they're doing, but they're doing it for...
It's like
for
a drug.
Drugs.
So it sounds like a drug.
And so my guess is someone at Amazon has a drug problem, and they're letting this just still be there.
Is it from Amazon or the marketplace?
It's from Amazon Fresh. Oh. So, yeah, so it's just delivered to
them. You stumbled upon the Red Bull Amazon money laundering scheme.
I did. I told Chris, like, I measured him, like, this is how I'm going to make my millions.
Yeah,
this
what
is
are
it.
You going to do? I mean, realistically, you have all this Red Bull now.
Well, I've been giving it away. I just gave you a case. Getting a brother-in-law, cousin. Yeah. So that's what we've been doing. And drinking some of it, but...
Christmas gifts for family members.
It's just what you wanted.
Yeah.
Diabetes. Diabetes and heart palpitations. My gift to you.
Last.ting.com. Go to Ting and sign up for mobile that makes sense. There's no contract. There's no early termination fee. You just pay for what you use. It's $6 for your line. And then your minutes, your messages, and your megabytes. On top of that, you own it. Nationwide coverage. They got CDMA and the GSMs to choose from. And John, that matters.
Okay.
Because in some areas, you got the better CDMAs, and in some areas, you got the better GSMs.
It's true.
These are facts. Science facts, and Ting supports both of them. But why that matters more, you can bring more devices. You can bring an old CDMA phone. You can bring a GSM phone. They got both of them.
On Ting, you can get CDMA GSM.
That's the sound of my mind blowing up. Not only that, but it just blew up a little bit because they got no contracts. They got no early termination fees, and they give you a dashboard for days. Just go to last.ting.com. That'll take $25 off a device if you don't bring one. And if you do, you'll get $25 in service credits. Now, here's a nice thing. Average Ting line? Average? You got a guess?
$6?
Well, that's for the line. But then once you put your usage on it, like the average, it's like about $23.
Yeah.
For a phone line. Now, we're going to give you a $25 service credit when you go to last.ting.com.
Which is funny, because that's like half the price of a minimum plan anywhere else.
Oh, I know. It's, you know what? It's cooking with gas. That's what they say, right? Isn't that what you're supposed to say?
People say that.
Yeah, I've heard it before, right?
I don't know.
Yeah.
People with propane.
Yeah, they do that.
That might be if you're grilling, but if you're barbecuing, it's cooking with coals.
Or logs, I suppose.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Either way, you could look it up on your new Ting phone, last.ting.com. Are you guys ready for a little round of hashtag ask error?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We only got a couple of questions in this week, so I'm making up some of them, and I'm going to kick it off with John, since John's new to the show.
Yep.
And nobody knew to ask him a question.
No.
I'm going to throw a random one at you. Okay.
Random.
What is your it's expensive but it's worth it type product? Like the one thing you're willing to spend a lot of money on because it's totes worth it.
That's kind of hard for me. Let's see. I don't know.
Red Bull.
No. Red Bull, yeah. Well, kind of pricey if you look around. No, I think this is kind of a boring answer, but I think a nice coat, one that lasts, keeps you warm, keeps you dry.
Yep.
Pretty dull answer, but coats, look into them. People, they are up and coming.
What about you, Beard? Is it GPUs?
Yeah, someone that's currently just spent $830 on a GPU, computers, because my entire life apparently revolves around them.
Now, just to demonstrate that the internet can be triggered by anything, I'll give you mine and guarantee I'm going to get flamed for it.
Yeah,
it's expensive, but it's worth it. Gasoline that has detergent in it, like the stupid.
No way, really?
I know.
No.
I will do regular old.
That's
cheap
just because you're a sucker.
I will do any. No, I will. I will do any gas that has a detergent if possible. Now, ironically, maybe not ironically, but sort of hypocritically, I don't know what the word would be there. The gas I currently buy right now doesn't have a detergent in it, but I am a firm believer after the years of any gas will do as long as it has some kind of detergent in it.
Just keep a box of OxyClean in your car.
And just pour it in there. That's what I used to do back in the day, but that car just ran like crap, so.
That's weird.
Yeah. The truck's been handling it much better. Those are mine. Also, things to cook with often I find to be worth a little
extra knives.
Money.
Knives. That's a better answer,
all
probably.
Kinds of cookware.
Knives are, spend the money on knives. That's better than a coat answer, even.
Even a barbecue, like getting, just going a little bit extra on your barbecue is worth it. Or a power supply for your computer would be another one.
This is going to be a sappy, stupid answer, but. The other thing that is really worth it to me is actually just to buy things for other people to make them happy.
Okay, John. The probe gets turned back on you one more time.
All right.
An alien ship comes down.
Yep.
Beams you up.
Nope.
As it do.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, that's what
they accept it, yes.
Okay. And they say, hey, John, come explore the universe with us. We'll show you thousands of worlds and countless new forms of life and technology.
We'll only probe you a little bit.
Yeah, there might be some probing, but there's one big catch. You can never return to Earth, nor can you call anyone, write, text, carry your pigeon, smoke signal, anything before you leave. You're beamed up, and you're off to the universe.
I go wherever I want. I just can't go back to Earth or talk to anybody or let anybody know
ever
that
ever again.
Okay.
Yeah.
Here's the question.
Yeah.
Will they let you take anybody with you?
No, it's just you.
Okay. Well, I want to go back a little bit into the question. And they said there was just a little bit of probing. Now, is that negotiable?
Do you want more?
Yeah, a little bit more. I'm going to be gone for a while. I got to be entertained.
You can't bring anybody with you. You need something else.
Your participation directly impacts the amount of probing. So you sort of have the throttle on that.
Okay. Great. I like this.
Would you say goodbye to the kid? Well, you wouldn't be able to say goodbye.
I just have to go if I want to go.
So say you're on your way back home after this recording, and all of a sudden, Dad never comes home again.
Because I was abducted and I agreed to never see my kids again.
Would you agree?
No, I can't agree to that. But let's say I did. Let's say that, the universe is infinite, right? So maybe I find another planet with kids just like mine, except they don't cry as much.
That could happen.
Maybe they take you to the mirror universe where your kids are there. They're different.
Well, so Rikai ironically subscribes to the Star Trek form of parallel universes, and you kind of sound like maybe you subscribe to the Rick and Morty version of parallel
universes. I believe both are true. I believe that there can be multiple and infinite.
Really?
Yeah.
So because it's infinite, there could be multiples.
Yes.
Essentially. So one does not preclude the other.
Exactly.
Well, the way I heard it described in a non-Jupiter Broadcasting podcast was Swiss cheese with each hole being a universe, and Swiss cheese is growing and expanding, so the universe is expanding, but the holes, more and more holes are going too. So one does not preclude. Yeah, yeah. So I'm just like, I'm going to put some of those on some crackers.
I don't think I could do it either. I don't think I could do it because I would get all the way out there and it'd be like, man, this is some amazing shit. I wonder how my kids are doing though.
See, I like to think of it more like layers, like a lasagna.
Yeah.
Where you just go through the layers and you can experience slightly different variations of the same thing and they're all delicious.
That could be nice. And that means you could stay here in one spot and just experience all the different iterations in one spot.
Mm-hmm.
You'd need a way to slip between each dimension though, like some sort of portal gun.
Yeah. Do the aliens have portal guns?
Now they do. As soon as we are done with you bastards, I'm out of here. I'm running down to the solar eclipse in Oregon, and the more I think about this, the more I think this is going to be nuts.
You don't care at all about vampires.
No, I know, right? This is their time.
Yeah, this is their chance.
I can imagine this more than just vampires if you think about it. It's probably all kinds of creatures come out of the woodwork, right?
Yeah.
It's going to be... I'm going to get down there, and it could be zombies. It's definitely going to be undead of some kind.
There's going to be a full moon in the sky, so there's also going to be werewolves.
Mm-hmm. Plus, I'll probably blind myself and break my camera. And... maybe not getting sleep. So this should go pretty good, I think. Yeah. Oh, I don't know. There's like three people coming to the meetup that we have down there. I'm kind of looking forward to it. I think I might become hooked. I think I might become an eclipse chaser. I'm already planning for 2024, so.
I feel like you're just going to become a blank chaser.
Wow, dude. Wow. Are you saying I have an addictive personality?
Yes.
Could you hand me another Red Bull?
I don't have to. It's within arm's reach.
Yeah, I know. It sure is. It's right there. Let's get this episode.
The addiction is laziness.
Powered by caffeine. Yeah. I feel like I could build a lifestyle around eclipse chasing. Because what a great excuse. What a great excuse to go to all these different countries. And otherwise, I'd never get off my ass. And now all of a sudden, well, I got to go there. Yeah, there's an eclipse.
You say I got to go there. It's going to be dark.
You haven't seen one yet, though. What if you're just like, this is just like turning off the lights?
Yeah.
Like,
it could boring. Be. It could be.
Yeah. I doubt that's
going to be the hype is high around this. It's like ridiculous. Like there's tons of YouTube videos. I watched a TED Talk on it. Like the hype is at 11.
Speaking of which, have you checked to make sure that your solar glasses aren't fakes?
I think that's a BS story. They always do this. It's always watch out for needles and candy. The turkey's been poisoned, and now it's fake solar eclipse glasses. There's always a scare story.
Yeah, but anything can sell. Anybody can sell stuff on Amazon.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. That is true. Yeah, I did just buy them randomly off Amazon.
Maybe you just got regular sunglasses.
Well, if I come back blind, then you can say I told you so.
Your corneas are going
to
be burned.
Here's the test. Do they have like a plastic nose and mustache attached to them?
Yes, of course. I had to go style.
Right, okay. There you go.
Okay, Beardsley, now the probes turn towards you. If you could wake up tomorrow and have enough money or like somebody invested in you to start your own business, what would it be?
Well, this is going to be a very expected answer, but I would start a business of streamers that...
Like a whole house of streamers, like a whole shop?
Yeah, not necessarily a house. Like I'd have a workplace where streamers come to stream and we would build a...
infrastructure,
a community focused streaming conglomerate.
Interesting. Oh, and like cover different.
Because I feel like one of the things that's missing, and there's some businesses that have done this, but I'd like to see more of them, is that if you're going to be a streamer, your income isn't very stable. So I'd like to have something that like takes care of like health insurance for the people and all that stuff, just so they can have like job security.
Hmm. Yeah. Yeah. That's. I thought it'd be somewhere around streaming, but that's an interesting idea to sort of, when I say house, I mean kind of like a, not like like an actual house, but like a place for people to go to.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah. That would be cool. And I bet you that could be successful if people brought in a bit of an audience with them and all brought it under one roof.
Yeah. If stuff goes well, that is a long-term goal for me.
What about you, Mr. John?
Sex bots.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is a good area to invest in, too. Now, would you start with the full robot or would you start with like the USB accessories or Bluetooth accessories and then build from a robot from there? Because if you just go for something that attaches to your junk first, that seems like a much more achievable goal than the full robot. So then you nail the robot pussy. And then once you've nailed the robot pussy, you could build the whole robot.
Chris, I'm not getting into this business to build a better fleshlight. I'm getting into this business for love.
I see.
So love.
Love between a man and his sex robot.
Yeah. And, you know, there's so many... fetishes that really just aren't answered in regular society, and just, you know, you can build them out.
Like what?
Oh, mostly tentacles.
So are these intelligent sex robots or just playing?
I think I like in this business, I think that you'd be able to kind of specify how intelligent you want your sex bot to be. How many tentacles?
You don't want some smarty, you know, back-talking robot.
Or maybe you do.
Yeah, maybe
or
you maybe do. You do. Yeah.
I want the real bot or the dumb bot.
Yeah.
Is there like multi-tentacle control via like your phone or is it voice prompts in this? I mean, because this is a multi-year project.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's taking some time. But you know those websites where like some random person on the internet can like turn off lights and
not? Sure,
So I'm kind of envisioning that so other people can control the tentacles.
Just random people or like?
Yeah, well, as an option. So it can be a surprise.
Sure. you could build in like webcams and stuff. So mm-hmm. people could just get a, like right up in somebody's face and just get a real high def stream of that, that yeah. like their own face.
Like if, a webcam on the end of the tentacle?
On the end of tentacles and behind the eyes of the robot, maybe like a P-cam, if you know what I'm saying, like mm-hmm. down there. Everybody loves the insertion shots. So you got to have that, of course.
Oh, yeah.
You suppose like you could, if you could integrate VR and social networking into this, I think you'd have something VCs would really back here.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. I'm working on it, but that'd be pretty so solid. Far, no backers.
Yeah, yeah. I think probably my favorite job would be something like a Dog the Bounty Hunter. I'd be real good at yeah. that. I'd be a good Dog the Bounty Hunter, I feel like. I'd roam the nation hunting people.
I found you!
And, you know, like the ones that were just real pains in my asses would just wind up dead. And then I'd have a reputation of somebody, you know, like, oh man, that's Chris the Bounty Hunter. And if you run from him, you wind up dead. So, like, eventually, I feel like people just start turning themselves in because of this rep.
So,
yeah.
Like, is your end goal to, like, go bankrupt and get all your stuff taken from you?
What? No, I'm going to be rich as hell killing people, dude. That's a great business.
He's not going to go for the smaller bounties.
It's not like,
come on.
It's not like I'm going to be running out of inventory anytime soon.
Yeah, but I feel like if you take that job, you're going to end up going down a path where you make bad decisions and you waste all your money.
Well, first
but
of all.
Think of this. Leather vests.
Right. Crazy long hair and a pony, sunglasses, and...
Sure. Yeah, but you're going to spend like...
I already got the truck.
If you need anything else in leather vest, sure.
Yeah, I know you, Chris. You're going to spend like $400 million on hair maintenance.
Well, here's my primary thing, is mm-hmm. That is a legitimate business expense because it's really about the image of Chris the Bounty Hunter and not so much about the bounty hunting. Because, you know, I'm probably still going to podcast, let's be honest. Yeah. So I gotta balance my time.
I feel like you're not... You don't quite understand how business expenses work, Chris. They don't just magically make the money go.
No, I agree with Chris because yeah. I think you yeah. know you can kind of also market other things too. You know, sure. you can kind of sell
branding.
Your image.
Yeah,
yeah, branding. You I know, you steaks. Could you could have your face on like a box of cha.
Maybe you could sell your own line of hair care products.
And think about this too. Like, you know, handcuffs. You know, like I could have my own brand handcuffs. Mm-hmm. I could have my own hair products.
You guys can cross collaborate and
Q-tips.
Have the sex box. With the handcuffs.
Chris the Bounty Hunter doesn't use any other kind of Q-tips.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's definitely, I could do that. Mm-hmm. I'd love to sell cans of beans. I think I'd be great at selling beans. I could really hustle beans. And then the other thing that I think I would probably eventually get into is golf course ownership. Because I feel like I could build that brand. I could parlay that brand into something like land ownership. Then the people I need to kill would just come to my golf courses because they'd be the world's greatest golf courses. And I would just murder them while they're out playing golf. And people are like, what happened? I don't know. I must have had a heart attack.
I feel like you need a new name, though. I feel like Chris isn't a very intimidating bounty hunter name.
Yeah, you're right. That is. I'm working on it. I mean, I'm shopping this still. So this podcast thing goes yeah.
Also, I have a suggestion. I would like you to make a line of toys and cross promote with McDonald's, but
sure.
put Chris the Bounty Hunter toys
sure.
in Happy Meals.
Sure. Yeah,
kids
I feel like,
love it.
Yeah, and also, I feel like McDonald's would probably be another place I'm killing people a lot.
Yeah, I hear kids in 2017 are really into murder.
Well, I would start with the X's route circuit. I feel like that's probably a one where people are willing to spend money to take care of an
yeah.
X. That's
yeah.
where I'd build my client base, and then I'd quickly move into business murders
yeah.
because once I've got a few under my belt. The money is in murdering people for business and politicians, which I mean business.
This sounds a little bit different than bounty hunting, but I like where you're going with it.
I feel like...
Oh, right. Yeah, that's right. It's a bounty hunter.
Yeah, I feel like you're not going to make a lot of money if you kill...
I found him this way!
Well,
see, what Chris is thinking...
People know what they'd be buying into.
Chris is thinking back to Casa Blaster,
right.
where he it's wanted dead or alive.
Yeah.
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 Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So anyways, that was my idea. That or a barbecue restaurant. One of the two. I'm working both ideas. I think we should jump in the Jupiter Broadcasting time machine for a moment and go back in time. What do you remember the most from this place when it wasn't a studio, when it was a condo that you and I lived in? We were roommates.
This is your room.
In this very place.
Yeah.
This was my bedroom.
Yeah.
Obviously, upstairs, which is my office now, was your room.
Yep.
And, Not only did we roommate together, but then we commuted to the same office where we worked together.
Yeah.
And then we drove back. So it was like there. How long did we do that for? 6 months? A year?
No, like a year. Good yeah. year, I think. And then you got engaged and then that, I went out.
So, boy, you should. Why didn't you say something? Yeah. What do you remember most, though, from that time?
I don't know. I remember a lot of good grilling. I remember.
Was that a plane crashing in the background? Did you hear that?
Yeah.
That's a, That sounds like a plane crashing. Yeah, yeah, we did a lot of barbecue.
A lot of barbecue. Yeah. I remember
meat sweats.
Getting what at the time was a very nice television.
Yeah,
and working on that.
Yeah, you know, I bought that whole damn TV, that DLP stand television, because Star Trek was going to be in high def, and then it never happened.
I know.
We got like Comcast and cable boxes, went all in.
Mm-hmm.
Never panned out.
I remember this as your room with beds and just Kleenex. Used Kleenex everywhere.
Oh, man. We did have some good times, though. There were some good times. And, you know, looking back at it, it wasn't a bad purchase, really. Like, it's really kind of panned out. Like, that whole thing worked out pretty good. And, you know, for me, I got a great sunscreen out of it for my vehicle. I took his sunscreen.
Still using it to this day.
I am. I'm still
using it.
It's falling apart. It's falling apart, but I'll use it.
I'll find another one.
Yeah, well, I'll just need to just take yours. You've got a good one. I'll just grab it. But that was good times, but we were probably crazy living together, commuting together, and working together. Like, I don't think I could do that today.
Yeah.
I could have done it back then, but I couldn't do it today.
But we left on good terms, so it was all totally fine.
It's just funny that I don't think Chris of today could do something like that.
Yeah.
Maybe I've gotten to be more of a pain in the ass as time has gone on.
I just remember, like, getting, I think I was, like, on a trip to Europe or something. I got back, and you're like, hey, so, gonna need to move out. You were super nice about it and gave me lots of notice, but I was like, okay.
Yeah, I think probably because Angela was moving out of her grandma's and moving in here. Right?
Yeah. No, it wasn't like a mean thing or anything.
Is that when you got your condo?
I moved back in with my parents for like a few months, and I bought the condo, and then I had to wait for the condo to be completed.
Oh, yeah, right, yeah. That was bad, though.
Yeah, it was okay. I made some money off it. I wouldn't be able to afford my house if I hadn't.
Right. It was an interesting time, though, because our works were changing a lot. You and I were getting moved around a ton of our work.
Yeah.
We were in this old traditional IT department for this bank that was based around these old systems, an old way of doing business where the IT for a long time had really been set by the mainframe people, and then sort of just expanded out as they needed silly PCs to do stuff. And we watched them transition into what was like this weird large company, and they created all these different divisions within IT, and you got moved around to disaster recovery for a while from help desk, and I got moved around from server stuff, desktop stuff, to server stuff, to penetration testing and firewall management.
Yeah, we hated that.
Yeah. That was a bad, like,
I felt so trapped there after a while.
And so many, like,
I was doing disaster recovery. I'm like, I don't want to do disaster recovery.
So many awful bosses, too. Like, that was my first, like, that was my real first experience where, like, a job can make promises, and then things can just totally not work out. Like,
yeah.
And that's just the way it goes. And it was just a series of jobs after that, really.
Mm-hmm.
Weird times. Now looking back at it, it feels so long ago, I can barely remember it.
It's been a while. I mean,
I don't think it feels long ago. It was long ago.
Mm. Yeah, you left that place like 10 years ago, I think. About.
Jesus. Yeah, I guess it was that long ago.
Yeah. And I left 9. Well, 8.5, I think.
Yeah. Oh, man. Many stories from those days. Probably many we can't share on air. But some good stories.
You got to think, Chris. You can start measuring things in JBs now, because JB's gone for over a decade.
Wow. Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess so. If Last is 11 years old.
Yeah.
Jeez. Yeah, you're right.
So you don't measure in decades anymore. You measure in JBs.
Mm-hmm.
JB, it can't be over a decade. Yeah, because we had Cast Blast before JB. Right. And that was... We weren't living together then.
Linux Action Show started before we formed Jupiter Broadcast.
Yeah, I guess.
But that still was after... That was like... In between Cast Blast, which was still less than 10 years ago.
Yeah.
I guess I retroactively applies pre-JB stuff to JB.
Because it eventually became JB.
Yeah.
I look at it, my official marker I got really serious about it 5 years ago. Like, that's when I went kind of full-time, I think. I can't remember now.
Yeah, that sounds right.
And then shortly after you hired me.
Mm-hmm. And that was really when I shifted into higher gear, when I was like, oh, I can't really see myself doing IT for another 20, 30 years. I'm going to have to figure something out now, and it's probably going to take me many years to get it right, so I should start soon. And the timing worked out perfect, because I had gone from having, I don't know, I mean, probably 17 clients to down to 2 that were just, I visited one for 3 days a week, and I visited the other for 1 day a week.
Ongoing maintenance.
Yeah, and so I had enough time to podcast, and I had enough time to work, and I was making plenty of money off those 2 clients, and I was doing pretty good. I was like, you know, if I spun down one of these clients and just worked a lot harder on one of our shows and got it sponsorable, I could kind of start to replace that income Mm-hmm. And so I was just sort of in a perfect position to say, all right, guys, I'm done here. And, you know, this is my last month. And that was awkward. And it was weird because they called me back a lot. And it's a hard transition to make when you have clients, because in IT, you know, part of their business runs on the computer system. And when the computer system isn't running, their business isn't running, and they are desperate. And you feel that, like, you're like, oh God, I'm the person that knows how to fix that. Even though I have this thing I need to do, they can't do business. And the client I'm thinking of too had like this contract with the state that kicked in if they were unavailable for, I think it was 24 hours or something. Oh, really? Like that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so if they're calling me at the end of a day where they've been down for 7 hours or something like that, that clock is already well into ticking. And so the pressure was pretty high. And so a few times I had to go back and keep working.
Help them out.
And I was bitter as F about it.
And I imagine, like, at the start of that transition, you're probably also like, is this going to work out? So you're not necessarily immediately recommending a replacement.
Right. My second client that it took me longer to spin down, I mean, I considered just keeping them because they were only just a few miles from where we're sitting right now, and they're in a really super interesting field, solar and inverters and stuff like that.
Oh, cool.
And you know, super nice to have it really local. Like, how often do you get to work in IT and you don't have to drive 20, 30 miles south to get in the industry? That's rare.
Pretty low maintenance.
Yeah, and so I was like, I can keep these guys forever. But then, as does happen with interesting companies in the green energy field, they got bought by a much larger company who had a much larger IT staff, which was great because that meant I had like 6 months to help them transition into running the infrastructure, which was nice for me because as a contractor, you always know your time's up at some point. Like, there's at some point somebody's going to come along and say, okay, we're done. And sometimes it's you have a few days, sometimes it's immediately because it's, you know, you have access to the network, or sometimes it's like this where they're like, okay, we're going to do a transition and now we'd like to hire you essentially to manage that transition. Mm-hmm. And then that's, for me, it's kind of nice because I know when it's ending, so I know when I need to start looking for the next client to replace them. But in this case, I knew, well, I've got to have at least this much more money coming in from sponsorships or else I'm fucked.
Yeah.
And so I just worked that 6 months, and I fell a little short of it, so I had to run off savings for a few months. But within that few months, I was managing to at least, you know, pay all the bills, and we were doing okay. And so then I just kept at it, and never really, that was 5 years. Like 5 years ago, I never really looked back.
Yeah, that's done.
Except for now, and a couple times on Coda Radio. But other than that, never. This is sort of an ask air answer. In response to a question we asked last week, Ekinos wrote in and said, I wanted to respond to something that was brought up last week in the discussion around needing to have new gear sometimes to spur the creative drive to make newer content. Mm-hmm. It's funny. Since we had that discussion, we were talking about how, like, what's with me? Like, sometimes it takes me getting, like, a new lens or a new, even, like, actually just a new ND filter for my camera lens. I just got that for my drone. I'm like, well, now I want to go fly. I want to go fly and record stuff. Well, then now that I just did some flying and recording, now I got to do a vlog. Well, now I got to, so then I'm like, by the end of it, because I got a new ND filter for $7, I ended up with a whole new vlog that I shot. Right. And there's just something about the pursuit of trying out new equipment and learning new things that just really gets me out the door and actually gets me shooting pictures or video.
That's so, always been the case for you too, as far as I remember. Just you just like wait for things to come, like any kid.
But I started to feel bad about it because I'm like, well, am I so dysfunctional that I need a new shiny thing? Like, I have all these nice things and I need more things to drive me creatively. Like, that feels like it's inappropriate. Like, it's like it's a broken thing about me.
I don't know. I think it's probably just an excuse to use something that you already have. Like, you know, talk about a $7 lens filter. I mean, just like, okay, yeah, well, I'm invested in this. $7 more. Here's, you know, like another 12 hours of my time.
It does feel like a bit of investment. Yeah.
My argument was that he is just subconsciously constantly trying to improve his product.
And that is definitely part of
it.
Like, the ND filter on the drone is like, okay, now I want to go see what it's like to shoot a beach that has standing water on the beach with this polarized ND filter. Like, I had a very specific thing I wanted to go shoot. Mm-hmm. And if you look at the last vlog I published on Wednesday or Thursday last week, it's drone shots of a beach. Like, I wanted to go out there and try this ND filter. So Ekonos wrote, I think it's possible, and what it might be, although it's just a guess, there's a lot of couching there, Ekonos, that maybe you have a core need to make Jupiter Broadcasting better as a whole. You want to see growth, improvement, more revenue, more efficiency. However, you don't have both knobs to change everything you want. You can't just make more people listen or make more people contribute on Patreon or make things that you have things you have to pay for cost less. But if you feel you need to do something to make improvements, getting new gear and similar things is turning those knobs that you actually have access to.
Yeah.
Take it for what it's worth. But if it rings true, I figured it might be worth giving you this feedback. Man, that does ring really true. Yeah.
Except here I am.
LinuxAcademy.com/unplugged. Go there to support the show and sign up for a free 7-day trial for a platform to learn all about Linux. Are you a total Linux noob? Linux Academy. Are you a Linux expert? Linux Academy. They got stuff from the very basics all the way up to the big stuff. Azure, Amazon Web Services, OpenStack. Can you believe they have Azure? What a sign of the times. And that's what I love about Linux Academy. They're always staying on top of it. They have a vibrant community. They have courseware if you just want to go after certain types of certifications. If you want content that's been planned by their instructors, they have learning paths that lay it all out for you. And whenever you get stuck or need help, they have instructor mentoring that's actual human beings that can help you.
See, I feel like you should have stated that differently, Chris.
How so?
They have super basic Azure, nice and simple, and they have very advanced Amazon AWS.
Whoa. Are you stereotyping the services?
Yes.
Wow. Microsoft hater for life over there, everybody. But that's okay. Maybe you just want little bits of sparkly wisdom. Check out a nugget. Or if you're real busy, they have a course scheduler. It'll help you stick to a time frame and meet certain learning goals. And of course, they have tons of content you can take offline and listen to on the go. LinuxAcademy.com/unplugged. That's where you go to support the show and sign up for a free 7-day trial to try out the platform yourself. LinuxAcademy.com/unplugged.
Thank you, Dad, for making it so that the LAN world works and the Wi-Fi is working way better. Like, everything is running way smoother and stuff. And thank you. Bye, Dad. I love you.
I'm going to do a little update on the wireless, Eero wireless system that I reviewed in the last episode of User Error, because John's got the Google Weave system that's very similar.
Yep.
So this is perfect. So quick update, I've installed it in Lady Jupe's, and I've now installed in Angela's house.
Mm-hmm.
And huge improvement. The kids immediately noticed a big improvement. Now they can do LAN gaming. They say the Wi-Fi is faster. Dylan even sent me a message to like thank me for making the internet better.
That's sweet.
So it's good. I'm very, very happy. So, very pleased with it.
So why'd you go with that one over the Google one or the other competitors?
I'm not inclined necessarily to go with Google to begin with for anything that is base level networking where they would be getting like
data
collection at that level. Because
he hates happiness. Is what it comes down to.
Well, I've been saying now for about 2 years that as people transition to mobile devices and tablets and mm-hmm. Macs and Linux machines that going after Windows computers with viruses and Trojans is just going to be less and less profitable. You're going to just net less and less results as a malware author. So what you really got to go for now is the router. You got to go after people's DNS settings. You got to go after their router. You got to capture it on the traffic. You got to give them fake bank web pages so they log in and give you their credentials accidentally.
Right.
You got to spoof all this stuff.
And you don't think Google is good at making internet products?
No, they're just going to do all of that for themselves, was my concern. Is they'll make good, secure products, but they'll still be collecting the banking sites that you go to potentially. Maybe not today, mm-hmm. but they absolutely have all of the incentive in the world to do it.
To do it, right.
Yeah, but then at least you know who your malware author is.
So the other reason I went with Eero is I really like the beacon system. So you have one main base station, mm-hmm. and then you take these beacons, and they're the size of like a big nightlight. In fact, it actually has a built-in nightlight.
Oh.
And it just plugs into an outlet somewhere. And mm-hmm. it connects up to the main base station. And now you have full Wi-Fi.
It's a Wi-Fi repeater.
Yeah, in that area. And it's simpler in that sense. Because there's one master station that I centrally place. And that model works better than the all nodes are sort of equally. Because that requires like a voting system that I don't have a lot of confidence in. Where with a master controller, I just feel like is a better system design. But that's my
I think the part that I like most about it, and you mentioned it when we first talked about it, is that it raises or lowers the signal depending on which ones are
mm-hmm.
used,
mm-hmm.
so that you're not having a lot of crosstalk.
But then the second reason I went with Eero, E-E-R-O, is it has this, I think they call it Tether, or it's got some stupid buzzy name,
mm-hmm.
but it is a Bluetooth LE repeating protocol, and the access points also act as Bluetooth LE signal repeaters.
Oh.
And that's nice because I've got water sensors and temperature sensors that use Bluetooth to communicate back to my phone and stuff. Mm-hmm. And so this can pick up those signals and relay them back to my phone. So I can have a sensor way off in a corner of my rig somewhere and still get that signal. Which
nice,
is
nice.
Yeah. I've put it all together. It's just working. It's working so good. So I've got these sensors now that tell me temperature and water leaking. I've got remote control of all that stuff. And the Wi-Fi network is just bulletproof. Really happy with the purchase. And, you know, I was talking about things that are worth a little extra money.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Really good wireless has made a huge difference. Yeah. Just stuff works so much better. Even web pages load faster. Videos that were streaming off Plex start faster.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't change the internet connection. It's the same speed internet connection. Yeah. But just the equipment is just a generation better. Everything's a little faster.
Mm-hmm.
And it's made a world of difference at Angela's house, where she used to have 3 different wireless access points that were all separate networks to cover her whole house. Now it's just one big blanket network with those repeaters.
Smarter.
So does it handle your droplets better too?
My droplets.
Your dropouts.
Oh, my dropouts. Well, the Wi-Fi LAN itself doesn't drop out at all. It has been rock solid every time the Wi-Fi has been like throttled to hell or something. But my connection gets just munged by AT&T. Yeah. After I've used 22 gigs, they just crank it down at night until about, it's almost unusable by about 6 o'clock, 6 to 10, it's almost totally unusable. Like web, I just turn off on my phone. I just turn off Wi-Fi and I just use the LTE on my phone. I just can't even load web pages.
That much of a difference, huh?
Yeah, it's bad. But then after about 10 o'clock, it speeds up.
Well, you know, Chris, they're probably just throttling for congestion.
Yeah, and it's funny. I can actually check with the Eero app right now. I could tell you if I'm being so. Right now, in my spot I'm parked at, I can potentially get up to 20 megabits, but I'm throttled right now to 3 megabits down, which is actually pretty good. It's actually still DSL level. Sometimes it's down to dial-up. The other cool thing about Eero, and I don't know, maybe Google Wireless does this, I'd like to hear about it a little bit, is I can run speed tests from the app. So the speed test, instead of running from my phone out to speedtest.net, is running from the Eero router directly out to some Eero servers and speed tests. It does like a couple of different systems it checks. So I can get a real good picture of what the speed directly is from the router out to the internet, taking out like the wireless clients out of the equation. So yeah, right now, so this is so funny. So now that I just rechecked it, now my internet connection speed is 702K down, 39K up. 39 kbps up right now is what I'm getting with the Wi-Fi. Because it's the middle of a day on a Sunday, so people are at home and they're on their home from church. So what do you think of the Google Wireless system? So
I've been pretty happy with it, but I mean, I'm not looking into it as deeply as you are. Basically, the way our house is positioned, like the cable point where we had our router, is just in the worst possible place in the house. It's in like the second floor corner of the room, like away from, or as far as away as you can get from our TV, from, you know,
so
everything except for
something to the TV on a Roku or something. It's just
from end.
It works, you know. Yeah. But you know, if you do like any, if you're trying to do multiple things at once, that's where you kind of run into problems. So I got the 3 Google Pods and just set up the mesh network, and it's made a clear difference, you know, for everything. You know, if we have people, we can do multiple things at once. We can, you know, have 2 Netflix shows going on downstairs, far away, and immediate. And yeah, you can run tests on it. You can do the basic. There's a Google app that just lets you do that kind of stuff and kind of reposition things. But super easy setup, like as easy as can be. Just, you know, plug in the pods and put in the numbers, and that's basically it.
This is the new kind of consumer setup. Like, it's getting way better.
Mm-hmm.
Like the Eero, same thing. Just it's so easy to set up. And I'm not saying this I'm not making a statement about Angela, but it's so easy to set up that I had her set it up, and I just answer any questions she had. Just let her do it, because I'd already set it up once, and I knew what the process was, and I knew it was really straightforward.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't even have you pick which port connects to the internet and which port connects to your LAN. It just auto senses and detects it, so that you don't even have to worry about plugging in the wrong stuff.
That's easy as can be. Yeah.
Yeah. It's literally as easy as you can make it. And that's good, because then there's less area to screw up. And it's, you know, like I got some feedback from the audience. I should go pull it up on Twitter. One gentleman listens to the show, says that he has the Unify access point, and then he manages it using a droplet. So there's people that can definitely make it work. Yeah, he says, I have SAT is for the boys, whatever that is. SAT is for the boys says that I use Unify, and I use a Unify controller on a DigitalOcean droplet. So there's a lot of ways to crack this.
Yeah,
I wanted something that I could hand it to Angela and say, you can manage this. If you want to turn on parental restrictions, you can do that. You can you can pause internet access. You can have full control over this and manage it yourself. And it's totally worked for that. I think Google, though, has a lot of reason to make a solid device. You know, yeah, I might be like, oh, privacy, which I think is an issue, but they're an internet-based company. They make all of their money online, and so it makes a lot of sense for them to develop a product that makes your home internet connection as reliable and solid as possible. So they have a lot of incentive to make this product outside of data collection.
Yeah, I mean, the data collection thing, it's not always on the front of my mind, but it is something that is a concern of mine, though. So, and it's a valid point, but we just needed some kind of answer and something that was easy. And
you know who blew this was Apple. They really blew it. Yeah. They had the Airport Extreme, and they had the Airport Express, which was an early version of this. You could have an Airport.
I had one,
and you could extend your network with that. Uh-huh. But they had no interest in anything outside the iPhone anymore.
Yeah. Apple and non-mobile hardware is their weak point.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Although, I think that new iMac Pro is going to be a seller. So I'm going to have to start changing my tune on that.
I will say that I also think Google has, unlike most of these companies that make the money off of selling you the hardware and then they're just done, I think Google has incentive to continually provide software updates to those providers to improve your experience.
That's creepy. Mm-hmm. That's creepy. What do you mean? So that way they can continue to mine you? They can continue to track you?
Well, so they can continue to have you have a good internet.
Yeah. So you keep using Google products.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
For the setup, if I'm remembering correctly, because it's been a few months, I think I got it in November. But I think you just download the app, and then the app walks you through everything you do, and you're done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is it the Google Home app? Does that sound right? That's what I use to manage my other Google devices.
It is Google Wi-Fi app.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm probably going to eventually get a chance to try it out. I just feel like I want to give it a go. I think this approach, though, where you have a repeating system, however you pull it out, if it's Unify Access Points, if it's Aero, if Netgear has a solution or the Google one, like this is the way to do Wi-Fi now. It's so nice to have strong signal. But the other thing, because I got a repeater for the RV, is now I'm blasting out Wi-Fi into the immediate area around the RV. And I'm doing that, one, so that way I can still download podcasts while I'm in the car. But two, I'm crazy, but I'm she's not going to listen to this. But for Hadia's birthday, which is coming up in a couple of weeks, I think I'm going to get her a set of Wi-Fi plugs and those Edison bulbs, the hanging Edison bulbs, those cool-looking, retro-looking bulbs, and sort of decorate the area we park, and then she'll be able to control it all with her phone.
Oh, cool.
And that's one of the reasons why I have Wi-Fi around the rig now, so we can have external devices that we can control. Mm-hmm. Which is going to be sweet because I'll have it hooked up to like an external power source. It won't be drawn from the RV. It's going to be a really nice setup, and I wouldn't have been able to do it with the previous system at all, or use this Bluetooth extender system. So I'm like 2.5 weeks into this. Double thumbs up still. John, since you haven't been here for years, I thought we'd catch you up on some recent community drama. Rikai just chased somebody out of town. What's going on, Beard?
Well, so I got really pissed off because there was this one person that joined the Discord community, and I've seen this on IRC before, and it really pisses me off when people come into the community, because we have a very varied community where people use lots of different operating systems and products, and this one person, for days on end, just kept complaining about how everything that wasn't Linux was horrible and that it had no value and all of this stuff. And I at some point, I just snapped and I basically told him, nobody fucking cares about your opinion because we're all using these things. Either shut up or move on. So he did.
There is an interesting thing developing. there is like a split in the community, and I kind of wish Noah was here because I kind of want to blame him for it. Because what it is there's people who are becoming like Linux extremists, and then there's people who are feeling persecuted because they use some Windows or they have a MacBook or they use Discord or Slack. And so you have like these groups of like people that are getting work done and they're using Linux as a tool, and it's one of the many tools they use to do their job. And then you have people that are using Linux because of the open source ideals and the human impact of a general technology platform that's free and available to everybody. And the advocacy of that is the number one component for them. And so these two views of how to use Linux on the desktop are diametrically opposed. And it's sort of manifesting itself in these discussions in the community.
Yeah, it's kind of politicizing Linux usage to me. Like, I feel like I'm somewhere in the middle where your advocacy is great. I'm happy that you love this stuff. But please, please do not berate or criticize me because I choose to use something else sometimes.
I feel like you could take out the words Linux, open source, and Windows, and you could put all kinds of different words and phrases, right? This is just, it's a different kind of conversation we have in all kinds of different spectrums.
But this isn't even that new, though, is it? I mean, because even when you were doing Linux Action Show, like, it was, you use a Mac, and, like, that was kind of hush-hush sometimes about that, right?
Yeah, yeah. We were pretty, it became a pretty vocal part of the show, like, we're going to replace this Mac eventually.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah.
It became like a mantra we were on for a few years. But yeah, initially it was like, you don't really talk about it that much because you'll get attacked for it. Yeah.
That's not new. It's just probably just...
Yeah. But what is kind of new-ish is since we've been doing this show, I've been hearing from more and more people. They're like, well, I haven't really said anything for years, but I've been a listener and I use Windows daily. And I just feel like I'll get attacked if I even say anything in the comments about that. So I just shut up and don't say anything.
Mm-hmm.
And that's awful. That's like shaming people for their personal preferences. And that is something that people are getting very upset about these days.
Yeah.
That's part of the reason I blew up is because I feel like with the Discord, we kind of have somewhat of a fresh start. So I'm going out of my way to try to make it be a more inclusive community rather than one that shames people for things. So... Yeah, I just couldn't put up with it after a certain point.
So then, of course, the counter argument will be, well, you're censoring their speech about it.
I mean, I told them that they could shut up about it, but so yes,
you have the option to shut up. Yeah, I don't know. It's a different form of intolerance. It's an intolerance for anything that's not Linux, and it's the opposite of inclusionary. And it's also off-putting from somebody coming into the community.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And the thing that got to me is that they were derailing other topics to bring it back to that. So other conversations that were going on always ended up becoming, well, you know, if you weren't using this other operating system, then you'd be not having these problems.
Well, that's kind of why I was hoping it would have been good to have Noah for this conversation, because he often will, you know, in this conversation, very dynamic in the show, he'll often be the one that, well, if it was Linux or if it wasn't that Apple device.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a very common attitude that I think people slip into and they don't even mean to be shaming or anything like that.
Yeah. Right.
I feel like Noah himself is different because he does it with his friends, the people that he knows him.
We shouldn't talk about Noah when he's not here. I mean, I'm just saying, like, I was just using him because everybody knows him as a reference, so I shouldn't have done that. It was my fault. But I was just, yeah, you're right. I was just using him as an example.
Yeah.
Because my point I'm trying to make is that is a super common thing. It's even common in our own shows.
Mm-hmm.
That's how common it is.
Yeah.
And it doesn't even really reflect the reality. If you look at the majority of people that are using Linux on the desktop, it's going to be people that are getting work done and they're using Linux on the desktop either because they're developing for Linux or they're developing for something that's going to run on Linux, like a Linux server. So they're writing on a local Linux machine because the Linux system they're going to deploy on, you're just going to have the best results if the Linux system you're going to deploy on matches the Linux system you're running it on. So people might run Ubuntu on the desktop or on their laptop and they're running Ubuntu on their VPS, their server, whatever. That's a vast, huge, massive chunk of user. That's who System 76 and Entroware and Dell are all targeting. That's the user they're all targeting with their Linux products.
Yep.
And that user base doesn't give a shit. They don't give a shit. They're all in Slack. They're all using Trello. They're all on GitHub. They don't give a shit about the whole advocacy aspect of it.
Yeah, they're using the platform because it's a good platform.
Mm-hmm.
But yet the conversation that dominates doesn't reflect that user base. Because that user base is busy getting work done and not participating in some masturbatory conversation about software that in 50 years really won't make a big impact on them. They're just not having that conversation. Instead, they're getting work done. Meanwhile, geeks are sitting around on their keyboard masturbating to conceptual ideas about a license that they really have very little involvement in. It's actually kind of pathetic sometimes.
Yeah. I see, when I made him leave, I immediately expressed some regret because I did feel kind of bad.
Yeah, that's the thing is I feel like this it's no better to shut down that conversation to this them to derail the conversation
but
constantly.
I felt better almost immediately because at least half a dozen people told me that I shouldn't feel bad and that they're glad I expressed that on their behalf.
This is a really tricky thing because there is also value in having a conversation about the licensing and the morals. There's still value in that conversation, and I just came down hard on it, but that's still a conversation to be had. At the same time...
I feel like you can have the conversation without being demeaning, though.
But, you know, here's how it affected us recently. So there's these different chat platforms, and Discord is a popular one that we've been talking about recently. Yeah. And we've been waffling a lot. Should we try using Discord? Should we replace some of our... We have like three other things that kind of do what Discord does, and Discord does it all in one place.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got a pretty big following outside of Linux, and it's getting bigger and bigger in Linux.
And
good time to jump in.
It connects to the other platforms that we use, like Patreon and stuff.
So we're like... And it has support for voice chat and all kinds of nice stuff. And it's really rich text with embedded previews and... emoticons.
Pretty nice.
Yeah. Crap the kids love.
Emoticons.
It's an extremely simple place where our community can do most of what we offer in a single place very easily.
So we've been waffling back and forth. Should we do it? Because, you know, it's not open source software. Like, you can install and run it on Linux, and the back end runs on a Linux server, but you can't run your own Discord server. You can't write your own Discord client.
No, actually, you can.
Oh, I guess the client APIs are open, right? So you could, And so while we've been debating the morals of using non-fully open source software to cover open source software, while we've been debating those moralities for almost a month now.
Other
communities that cover Linux.
Are using it.
Already using it. Like, they didn't even have the conversation. They didn't even have the discussion.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that I don't value the discussion, but you see how while we were sitting around debating it, other networks or podcasts, I guess, just implemented it. And that's what they use.
Mm-hmm.
And they just made a wholesale switch and that's what they use. And it makes me reflect on, it's like another form of bureaucracy. It's not like the standard kind that I've gotten familiar with by some of like our past jobs.
Yeah.
But it's a different kind that still slowed the wheels of our company down, still slowed down the progress.
It's internet red tape.
I don't know what to do about that because you want to involve community and you want to make decisions that the community, at least in the majority, is on board with, and you want to super serve your audience. But at the same time, this sort of sucks for us because now we're actually, while we started the conversation, now we're behind.
Yeah, I think it's really good that we directly asked for feedback on it because I feel like if we had just guessed, we would have maybe guessed that the community didn't want it because the vocal minority is very loud.
That's true. Probably the default would have been don't do it because the existing stuff's working. And then it would have been one more thing that other places are doing that JB doesn't do, which is fine. Sometimes it's like there's some things Mastodon that I think are just a waste of time. but there's other things that I think sometimes are worth jumping on.
Yeah.
And so Discord has been, it's the fact that feedback, some of the feedback in this show that we've covered in this episode or will cover in this episode comes from Discord.
Mm-hmm.
That's great. It's been a nice tool. So check it out. discord.me/JupiterColony. When the beard sets a goal, he sticks to it. patreon.com/JupiterSignal, the second episode of our patron-exclusive podcast. If you want more Chris in your face, you got to become a patron.
Okay.
patreon.com/JupiterSignal. You want more beard in your ear?
Yeah.
patreon.com/JupiterSignal. It does tickle a little bit. You should probably maybe trim it a little bit. But... listen to our podcast over there. We're posting it just for the patrons. If you have questions, ask them over there on those posts, and we answer them in that show, plus post live streams of our live productions when YouTube doesn't murder them in the bathtub when they're just trying to relax and render. That's also posted over there, plus tons of other behind-the-scenes questions, polls, little bits of tidbits here and there, and, like I said, that new exclusive podcast, patreon.com/JupiterSignal. Thank you for supporting the whole podcast. We love you.
So, Chris, you can finally let it out on air that you secretly use Bing.
Not even maybe twice ever.
You are one in every three people in the U.S. uses it, apparently.
Oh, really?
Yep. And I you're probably one of them, right?
Bing is
there's
Bing.
Three of us here. There's three of us here. So statistically,
honestly,
one of us, Bing.
I am known as the Google lover, so it's not me.
Yeah, okay. John?
No, it's not me.
I know how I could accidentally use Bing, and maybe you too.
Is it because they have really good porn searches? No. That is actually something Bing is known for, is really good porn searching. People use it as their porn search engine.
Really?
Yep.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I'll be right back.
Yeah. Oh, that's not what I was going to suggest. No, I have a different theory. My theory goes a little something like, hey, Siri, who is the beard?
I found an entry about beard on Wikipedia.
You know how she searches that?
Bing?
She searches Bing. Yeah. So if you ever have Siri punt something to the web, that's a Bing API call.
Even bigger than that, everything Cortana does is Bing.
Yep.
So Windows 10.
Yep. Windows 10.
There you go.
That's their numbers.
That's how they're fluffing this. So porn, Siri, and Cortana.
Yep.
Interesting that I bet you Siri and Cortana play actually a decent role in that, which is weird if you think about it.
Because not only is it just Cortana, but every time you like do a search in your start menu for an app, it also does a ping to Bing because it does internet searches as well.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I like that.
So imagine how many of those Bing API calls.
You know what that really tells you is how little people are actually using Bing.
Yeah.
What's interesting to me, which new information for me, is that I am more likely to find porn with Siri and Cortana together using Bing than I am with Google.
I'm sure Apple loves that.
Yeah, yeah. Do you use the voice assistants very much?
No. No, I don't. Yeah,
I didn't think so. What about you? You use it for like dictation or like a search query?
Yeah, I use Google. Yeah. That's about it.
I use it for dictation. Dictation.
I do use the Echo sometimes since you got me one.
Mm-hmm. I use the crap out of it these days. Just the crap. I probably at least a dozen times a day.
I haven't smart plugged my entire living area, so.
That's definitely one reason. Mm-hmm. All the lights and the heaters and stuff are all done by voice. But also, I'm a reminder maniac. I'm all about the reminder. Because I have the worst, like, I'll do something. As soon as I start working on something else, I forget the other thing I was working on.
You have poor short-term memory for some reason?
Yeah, for some weird reason. And so what I do, but I've always had, pretty much my whole life had bad memory. But what I use the shit out of reminders. Because, you know, the Shlomo on the phone here can do them on location. So I just say, hey, when I get to work, remind me to do X. And hey, when I get home, remind me to do Y.
See,
money out of that, man.
I still feel like I'm kind of old man, old school Noah in this situation because I'm still looking for a great calendar app.
That's adorable. What Google Calendar's too good for you? No, not good enough? You're too good for Google Calendar?
No, it's too garbage.
Wow, man. Yeah, I don't use it either. I don't use it either. Calendars, I
call me up for something that you don't use yourself.
Well,
classy.
I do use a calendar. I just use a Google one, but I just don't like it. I guess that's a better way to put it. I'm also kind of trying out a checklist for the solar eclipse road trip because there's a lot of camera equipment and chargers to bring. And I am one of the reasons I like to take the RV on road trips is I really suck at packing. And by living in the RV and taking the RV for road trips, I never have to pack. And so I never have to worry about it. But we're taking Hadia's car for this road trip.
Oh, you are?
And I find it to be extremely anxiety-inducing. Like, that's why I'm creating checklists to make sure I don't forget stuff. Last night, I, like, preloaded the car, and then this morning, I loaded it with more stuff, and then I got, like, a list of stuff for Hadia.
To be clear, you're going to be gone for just over 24 hours,
yeah,
right?
And it freaks me out, because, like, what if I need food, or what if I need this charger, or what if I need a USB-C charger to power my laptop?
This is the first time in several years that I couldn't bring my house with me.
I find it really stressful.
There's stores everywhere, you know.
Like, I know. But I even got it was on sale, but because it was at an outlet store, but I got a cigarette lighter adapter powered cooler. Mm-hmm. So it's a Coleman cooler that you plug into your cigarette lighter and it keeps everything at like 40 degrees. So it's an iceless cooler. And we're going to run that in the back seat so we have food because I can't imagine going on a road trip without having access to a fridge. So we got a little mini fridge. We got like a whole bunch of water. I've got a DC power splitter. And then I've got a USB-C DC plug that'll power my laptop with two USB ports on it. And then I'm going to have...
Your ship's going to be gone a day.
I'm going to have three cameras and a drone with me.
I like how he's worried about everything except for melting his eyes.
Yeah, that is true.
Yeah.
Or my camera.
Here's a small fact. Did you know, Chris, that...
You're trying to freak me out about melting my eyes,
yep,
dude?
Yep. If you stare at the sun, you won't even know that you're melting your eyes because your eyes have no pain receptors.
Damn it, Rikai. That is freaky as hell.
That's why I just jam my fingers right in them.
Between this and this other article I read about how if you don't get the right filter for your camera, you can melt the sensor. Mm-hmm. And
That's actually way easier.
The camera they were using in the example was my camera. Mm-hmm. So it just really was like, oh, yeah. Like, okay. But, you know, I actually have almost zero intentions of any kind of video or photography of the sun because I feel like this is the first I've never shot anything like this in my life.
Yeah.
And so there's no chance I'm going to have 2 minutes to get it right. There's no chance I'm going to get it right. So I'm going to just let the rest of the world, get photos of the eclipse, and I'll just get video of everybody experiencing it and being there.
See, that is super strange to me. I feel like you would take that as a challenge.
Yeah.
I have this small period of time to do this once in a lifetime thing perfectly.
Yeah.
Let's see if I can do it.
I would love to. I absolutely, if I could,
if you had the filter,
if I had the right filter and I could afford to replace my camera.
Well,
then I'd do it.
If you're going to become
an eclipse chaser,
you might want to invest in that.
An eclipse junkie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're going to combine your businesses. So it's like eclipse chasing. And while you're chasing these eclipses, you follow the local bounty hunts
and murder people. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And podcast along the way. Lots of content, do some meetups.
You're
going
to be raking in the money.
I know.
Well, yeah, idle hands are the devil's work, right? Keep busy.
You could become a specialized bounty hunter where you only kill the people during the eclipses.
Wow. I think, speaking of things people are doing during the eclipse.
Murdering.
I think baby making. That's got to be something you go for, right? You got to go for conceiving during an eclipse. That has to be a thing you go for.
Maybe if you want to.
This is how we make Superman.
Or devil babies.
Yeah, or devil babies, yeah.
Hold on here. So here.
Did you just Google eclipse sex, Chris?
No, check this out. I got to read this.
Do it through Bing.
Look at this. Yeah. Yeah. This is a Craigslist posting, an ad for somebody in Oregon, which is where I'm going, for a meetup. This is on Craigslist, and it reads as follows. I am 40 years of age. I'm Caucasian male from Europe. My heritage is strong and pure. So we're off to a good start right there. Right? That's good, right? I like that. It continues. My looks, instincts, and knowledge and strength is 100% pure and 100% lethal. I don't know if he's pulling our leg at this point, but lethal is in there. I'm looking for a worthy female with strong genes, beauty, and smarts to join me to experience the totality eclipse in Oregon. Now, if we have chemistry, I would like for us to make love while the eclipse is happening. When totality occurs, we will have simultaneous orgasms, and we will conceive a child that will be on the next level of human evolution. Yeah?
That's some good science right there.
I feel like I gotta give it a try.
We will make love together.
So you're gonna answer his ad?
I'll see. I'll talk to the wife first, but yeah.
See if this is what you're up for, because this is how he envisions this going down. We will make love together, with me and my penis directed towards the sun. Everything will be aligned in the local universe. Both of our cosmic orgasm energy will be aligned with the planets. In a brief moment of ecstasy, we will understand everything, and together create a new universe full of love.
I wish this was real. This was real.
This was a real Craigslist.
It's a real Craigslist post, but it's someone having fun.
Yeah, I agree. Somebody having fun.
You'd be surprised. There are some weird people on Craigslist that believe in some weird shit.
I know John would have to be out though, because there's a couple of mandatories that disqualify you.
What?
Drugs are okay. So that's either way.
Yeah.
Right?
All right.
Nitrous oxide while we climax is okay.
Good. Good.
But here's
a little giggly.
Here's your you ready for your disqualifier?
Okay.
I mean, because you figure drugs, nitrous oxide.
Right.
You gotta like cats.
I'm allergic.
Yeah, you're allergic. Yeah, you're badly allergic
to
cats.
Just take some allergy medicine.
He stops breathing around cats. It's bad.
Oh, it's pretty bad.
It's not good.
Yeah.
But if you
can wear one of those filtration masks.
But Beard, you're not
allergic. Oh, man, that'd be so hot.
Yeah, right?
Align it with the sun and you're good. You're not allergic to cats, though. You should get in on this.
I'm too busy going after a different Craigslist category, Chris.
Oh.
This is actually serious.
Okay.
There are groups of people that get crystals.
Yeah.
And they charge their crystals by jerking it together.
Oh, man.
So
groups of dudes, to be
clear. Oh, for a second, you almost had me. Because, I could see it, maybe you pop them in the other girl or something like that.
They gotta charge their JL crystals.
This is how I'm justifying this.
Do they hold the rocks while they get the rocks off?
I think they just wear them.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. I guess so.
Some of these listings actually have pictures.
I'm picturing a circle. Are they all in a circle? Because you gotta contain the energy.
I didn't go looking for the details.
What do I?
Just how we don't want to shame people for using other operating systems. Maybe we don't want to shame people for jerking off into crystals.
What do I search for?
Maybe JO crystal Craigslist.
JO crystal. Oh God, it actually is coming up. JO Craigslist ad. Charge up and JO.
Bookmark for later.
That is amazing. This is amazing. That is good. The crystal I wear around my neck contains...
Man, there's a nice picture.
Yeah, he's got a picture on here. The crystal I wear around my neck contains an essence that gets recharged when I jack it with a bro. And also has a crystal. If he has, so you got to jack it with a bro.
You have to have simultaneously crystals.
Yeah, yeah.
To align the essences.
It gives me confidence at work, home, social situations, etc. Nobody knows it's a J.O. crystal, but me and my bro. I have seen it glow white while jerking it with a bud. That's how I know this is real. You can come over for as long as you want, but I need a picture of you, preferably wearing a crystal, before I waste my time.
Wow. You know, you got a picture like commercials for this, like, what's his secret?
You know,
J.O. crystals.
Man, I just haven't.
How's he do it?
I haven't been feeling good these days. I really need to jack it with a bro.
Onto
a crystal.
These are the kind of things, Chris, you learn via Twitch.
Wow. Charge up and J.O. 38, Houston. I like the idea that there's somebody else out there that would respond to this, too. You know what this guy really
Anytime I see somebody wearing like a crystal, I'm going to be so suspicious.
This guy is
just walk up to him and be like, do you charge up in J.O.?
This guy is super homo, and what makes him feel good is the fact that he got a little homo release, and he attributes it to this crystal. That's got to be what's going on,
yeah,
right?
I'm sure.
Because the good thing about that is if you walk up to someone and you just say that, they're not going to know what you're talking about unless they do it.
That's true. Or they're listeners.
Yeah.
What I appreciate about it...
I imagine all our listeners do it.
Yeah.
What I appreciate about this is the tough guy spin. You know, the crystal I wear on my neck contains an essence that gets recharged when I jack it with a bro. Yeah. Like, that's, you know, it's just...
You gotta bro out, Chris.
You gotta just bro out. And I like that he's determined it's an essence as well. Like, that's a good reverse...
Bro out with your J-O out.
Yeah.
I know it's real.
I see it glow.